Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 17. And this is the English Standard Version. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
Morning. I'd certainly like to join with Brother Ron in welcoming everyone to our morning worship service here at Brown Street. And before I begin my lesson, I would like to thank the elders for the opportunity that they've given me to present a lesson. And I certainly hope that the things that I have to say this morning will be beneficial to each and every one of us. My lesson this morning is going to be directed to our young people. And that's not to say that it's not good for all of us, but I've got a lesson talking about peer pressure. And it's not something that only young people go through, but in particular, young people tend to go through it more than those who are older. And I know that our young people are going through a really tough time as they grow up in today's world, when we think about the social media, all the things that are around them that can tempt them. Things are so easily accessed to take them away from what God wants them to do. When we, those of us who are older, when we think about, you know, 30, 40 years ago, the things that we had to go through as young people, it's nothing compared to what the young people of today's generation have to go through. And this is kind of a reminder to all of us about what we face each and every day, but in particular, young people. I kind of want to think about what exactly peer pressure is, and I didn't look at Webster's definition of it. I've kind of thought of what do I think about when I think about peer pressure. And when I think about it, I think about just going along with the crowd in order to be accepted. Or feeling the pressure to do something that you know inherently is wrong, but you go ahead and do it anyways. When we think about peer pressure, the decisions that a lot of young people make aren't based on right or wrong. They're based on majority opinion, those that are around you. Decisions are based on not necessarily right or wrong, but what everyone is doing at that time. When peer pressure says, well, everyone's doing it, so why aren't you? It's also not being sure whether you fit in with a particular crowd. And you kind of wonder, you know, why does peer pressure have, you know, so much control over many young people today? Well, I can think of two particular reasons
One is acceptance, and one is and another is popularity. And we think about acceptance and popularity just in the world today. I think each and every one of us wants to be accepted. I think it's part of human nature. We want to be accepted by those around us.
We don't want to be an outcast. As children, I think our acceptance came from our parents and from those who taught us, those who were older than we were. But as a young person grows, that acceptance tends to go away from the parents and it goes towards those who are their peers. That's where they seem to look for the acceptance. But as Christians, we have to determine what price we're willing to pay to be accepted. That's what all young people who have named the name of Christ have to do. With whom do you want to be popular? Or do you want to be popular at all? Now, we can't be popular with everyone. You have to make that choice. Are you wanting to be popular with those who love God, love His will, want to be accepted by those individuals? Or do you want to be accepted by those who really don't have any concern for God and His will at all? What kind of popularity do you want? What kind of acceptance do you want? What crowd do you want to be accepted by? The do-your-own-thing crowd? Or the crowd that is trying to serve God? We realize that the two do not mix. When we think about what the world offers versus what God offers. And young people have to ask themselves, the people that I'm trying to be accepted by, how do their standards measure up to mine? Or how much am I willing to give up or to sacrifice to be accepted? What price would I pay in order to be accepted by a certain group or a certain crowd? Many times, young people go along with the crowd even when they don't want to, simply because they're not willing to make a stand. They're afraid of just being themselves. Now, inherently, there's really nothing wrong with being popular, as long as you're not paying a terrible price to do so. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We live in the world, but we can't live like the world. In James 4, verses 4, it says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So we realize you can't have it both ways. You have to make that choice. And you're really making it very early in life. You either choose to be with God or you choose to be with the world. And popularity can be fine if you're willing to sway those towards what God wants you to do rather than having those of the world sway you to do what is wrong. Many young people can find acceptance and popularity in sports. When we see sports just in the world in general, how popular it is. And there are, without a doubt, a lot of positives that go along with sports in general. When we think about teamwork or discipline or self-esteem and many others. But for the young Christian, there are a lot of pressures that go along with organized sports. For one thing, many athletic events conflict with times of worship. That is a real problem as you're as you're growing up, if you want to get involved with team sports. If a football or baseball practice causes you to miss a service, then you have to make a choice. And if you're trying to do the right thing, doing what God wants you to do, then that choice is very simple. You may find that coaches on your team have a problem with you missing practice in order to go to church, and they, in many cases, can put pressure on you, and they want you to prioritize, but their priority is you're there for practice. And if you miss, then you may not even be on the team. So you have to make a choice. And many times your own teammates will put pressure on you to say, you need to be here. So with organized sports comes a lot of pressure along with it. Also, as you get older, you may find that your teammates are the partiers. And they want you to go along and do the same things that they do, act the same way they do, and do the same things that they do. Many young Christians know the choices they should make, but when those particular situations arise, they're afraid to make those choices and draw attention to themselves. Now, certainly peer pressure is hard to resist. It's easy to give in and to join the crowd. If it wasn't, everybody would do it. That's why people join the crowd and follow along with the crowd now, because it's easy. It's not easy to say no, especially when others are making you feel like an outcast for following what you believe. Some young people have a problem accepting those who are different from them. And anyone who is trying to be a Christian in today's world is going to come across some problems with individuals like that. Many young people will make all sorts of excuses so that they don't have to stand up to their peers. Sometimes they'll say, well, since everyone's doing it, it must be okay. That many people couldn't be wrong. But when we see the religious error that is out in the world today, many people feel the same way when it comes to religion. In Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it." Some young people might say, nobody would know if I gave in just this one time. How many young people have been faced with a decision like that? Well, even if no one knows, we know that God knows. And that's the most important thing. And all of us are going to eventually have to answer for the things that we do. Some may say, well, I'll try it this one time just to get them off my back, just so they'll leave me alone. Well, you give in that one time, and at that point, your friends know what it's going to take in order to get you to do what they want you to do and what pressure they can put on you to make you change your mind. And it seems like people will always remember the one thing or the one time you did something wrong. And they seem to always want to remind you of that one time you did it. And it seems to take a lot of doing right to make up for that one time you did something wrong. God will forgive you if you repent, but it seems like your friends aren't so easy to forget. They'll tend to remind you when you did something wrong. So young people, you need to say no, and you need to mean it. The first time you stand up for yourself is always the hardest. It's always the hardest. But if your friends know up front who you are and what you stand for, it's a whole lot easier to let them know that what you stand for and the things that you believe in, then they're certainly less likely to put pressure on you about doing those things that are wrong. Now, there are many things that people in the world seem to find that's natural to them. But as Christians, you have to realize the consequences of every decision that you make. Many people go through life and whatever seems right, that's what I do. But as Christians, you need to know that we're trying to please God. And we have to look at the decisions that we make each and every day of our lives. Most people in the world today think that social drinking and the use of alcohol is something that all teenagers will eventually experiment with, and that the young people are going to do at some point in their life. Most young Christians are subjected to some pressure to drink, depending on the type of group that you hang around with. But you need to learn to say no. And like I said before, you need to mean it. In Proverbs 1, verse 10 and verse 15, it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, do not walk in the way with them." There's been many a young person who has ruined his or her life from taking that first drink instead of saying no to alcohol. Many teenagers these days are what people call sexually active. But the Bible calls it sin. It calls it fornication. This can also be another pressure that young people are going to have to face in the world today. So society is telling young people today it's okay to experiment with sex as long as it's safe sex. But the term safe sex, outside of marriage, as far as God is concerned, is anything but safe. The only safe sex spiritually is that between a husband and a wife. No other. It seems like young men, and even today young women tend to relate their experiences to others as if they're proud of it, as if it's some club that you need to join. And many times young Christians are faced with situations like this. And certainly this is not a situation that a young Christian is looking forward to. But you have to be willing to stand up for what you believe in those situations. Not make excuses just to get out of a situation like that. In those situations, you already know that you can expect some harassment from others if you stand up for what you believe. In Matthew 5, verse 11, it says, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kind of evil things against you falsely on account of me." But in these situations, we can find that it can make us stronger. Yes, it's hard to deal with, but it can make you stronger as a Christian. And you might be a positive influence on someone else. A lot of times there are a lot of young people that would stand up for themselves, but they're afraid to do it. They're looking for someone else that would stand up too. And very often it's that young Christian who's willing to make a difference and stand up that causes others to stand up as well. Looking back at the scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3 that Joe read before the lesson, starting in verse 10, it says, "For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of Christ, or righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the things in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. So we know, in living in the world and trying to do what's right, there are going to be those who will persecute us. Not in the way that the first century church was persecuted, but many times verbally. But we have to stand strong, stand steadfast. And as a young person, it's very hard to do that. But as I said before, when you make that first stand, it's much easier to do it after that. There are times when girls are pressured by boys to commit fornication. We see this going on in the world today. Of course, that's not what they call it. They say, if you love me, you'll show me you love me. And sometimes girls will put pressure on boys, just the way the world is today. A young person should never remain in a situation or a relationship that would put pressure on you to do something that you know is wrong. Obviously, the types of friends that you have a big impact on what you may be pressured to do, and they may influence the type of person that you are and the type of person that you ultimately will become. Many young people have let peer pressure get to them and end up making mistakes that affect them for the rest of their lives. And how many times do we see that each and every day? Choose your friends wisely. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." True friends will not ask you to do anything that violates your conscience. And those are the types of friends you need to have. As young people, I ask you to resist peer pressure with all the strength that you have. And in many situations, it may take all the strength that you have. But be what God intended you to be, not what others expect you to be. Rely on your Christian friends and on your parents. God will give you a way to escape temptation, but you have to be smart enough to find it. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Obviously, the pressures that face our young people today are enormous. And it's easy to be a good Christian in the confines of a building like this, surrounded by other Christians. But when you get out into the world and you think that you're the only one that's trying to do right, that's when it becomes difficult. But you can't crack under the pressure that the world puts on you. And I believe we have a good group of young people here at Brown Street, and I certainly appreciate the stand that they take for the Lord. And I hope that this lesson will help us all to realize the blessings or the problems that people face, that young people face each and every day. And ultimately, they are, if the world continues to stand, the future of the church. I see many of the young parents out in the audience who have very young children. And I'm sure it's crossed your mind, what type of world are they going to grow up in? What problems are they going to have to face? But we need to be steadfast. And I pray that as young parents, that you'll be steadfast and look to the Lord in guiding your children, being able to face what the world gives us. And I say to the young people here today, don't give in to that pressure to act like the rest of the world. Stand by your commitment. If you've made that commitment to the Lord, stand by that commitment. When it comes down to it, you have to have your own faith. Certainly as young people, you know, we come to church, our parents bring us, and ultimately as we grow, we have to have our own faith. You have to have your own faith. Sooner or later, you're going to separate from your parents. You're going to continue on your own lives. But you have to stay strong for the Lord. Don't give in to the temptations that young people face. You need to know that what you believe is right because of your faith in God and in His Word. I realize this lesson was not necessarily designed for those who are not members of the church, but there are some things that a person who is outside the Lord's body needs to do in order to be added to the church. The Scripture tells us to believe the Word of God, Mark 16:16. To repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. To confess Christ before men, Romans 10:9-10. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Colossians 2:12. And this is where the journey begins. This isn't where it ends, but where it begins. You must be faithful until death to have that crown of righteousness. There may be those in the audience this morning who have put on the name of Christ at one time, but for some reason or another have fallen away, have allowed the world to creep back into their lives. Well, if you're here and you know that you need to get back into a covenant relationship with God, then you need to come forward. If those sins are of a public nature, you need to make those things right publicly. We can pray with you and for you. Whatever your desire might be, we ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing.